Welcome to the Powell Press Podcast. Today, Joshua Powell's memoir, Father and Son. This is Chapter 2. You can read Chapters 1 through 10 on Medium or Substack. At J.D. Powell 65. Thanks for listening to the Powell House Press Podcast. Father and Son. Chapter 2.
Big white clouds moved across that blue summer sky with no ambition. The sun, hanging high, was white small, and blinding. Lying in the long grass in that remote field, I saw gray weathered fence posts lining the meadow's edge. Brown rusted barbed wire came and went from one post to the other. A single electric wire strung around white porcelain spools ensured the cows would stay on their side of the meadow. I could hear the hum of the current it carried. I knew this was going to be a bad day. I just knew it. I reluctantly went to that birthday party. Not that I had a choice. I was invited, so Mom said I had to go. "I don't want to go," I whined, sitting at the round oak kitchen table, my legs too short to touch the floor. "I hate birthday parties," I muttered. "You don't hate anything," Mom said. "Why do I have to go?" I pleaded as my legs were swinging like two pendulums. "Joshua, you were invited, and we already got Frank a gift," she said, standing by the counter drinking coffee out of a blue mug in one hand and a Moore cigarette dangling in the other. She was wearing jeans and a tank top. Her thick platinum blonde hair was pulled back and tied with a Hermes scarf. "Why do I have to go?" I asked again. Dad had walked into the kitchen. It was clear that he had heard the conversation from the dining room. "Enough," he said. "Your mother told you you're going, and you are. Am I clear?" He sat down at the table next to me and picked up the New York Times, which was placed, as it was every morning, on the kitchen table where Dad always sat. I nodded and swirled my spoon into the cereal bowl, defeated. Mom started to play nervously with the long apple seed necklace she wore. She poured coffee into a mug and brought it over to my father. "Let's not make a big deal out of this, Dunning," she said. He made a grunting noise and started to read the paper. It was hot that day. By 11 that morning, the locusts were already screaming, which meant it would only get hotter. "Come on, Josh," Mom hollered up the stairs. "It's time to go." A feeling of dread washed over me, but I knew it was useless to protest anymore. I slinked down the stairs as Mom waited for me at the bottom, holding the raft box containing lawn darts. "It's all the rage," my mother told me as she placed the present in the back seat. I opened the car door, which weighed more than I did, and got in the front seat. Mom got in, took off her buffalo sandals, and handed them to me. Mom didn't like to drive with her shoes on in the summer. She opened all the car windows and pulled forward. As we drove down Route 66, Mom reached for the radio knob and gave me an uneasy smile, the best apology she could manage for forcing me to go to the party. She gazed back to the road, and we hung our arms out the window as Neil Diamond sang Song Sung Blue. The sun was bright, and Mom and I pulled down our visors. Every so often, as Mom moved the steering wheel, a ray of light would hit her ring. The aquamarine was the size of a large marble, and when the sun's rays hit it in a certain way, the car sparkled with tiny rainbows. Dad gave Mom that ring after they fought because he missed the train home once and had to stay overnight. It seemed anytime Dad missed his train home, he'd bring home something fancy for Mom. Usually, it was jewelry. I knew this was going to be a bad day. I just knew it. By the time we got to Frank's house for the party and pulled into the long, dusty driveway, all I felt was dread. I gave a pleading look at Mom as we waited for the Ford Country Squire wagon in front of us to unload. A little girl in a party dress got out with a present wrapped in gold foil and a bow. Frank's mom, Mrs. Apple, stood by the front porch and greeted the girl with a beaming smile. "You are going to have a wonderful time," Mom told me, trying her best, I guess, to convince me. She leaned over for a kiss, her left hand out the window, cigarette dangling. I kissed her and took the gaudy wrapped gift. I tried to slide across the blue leather seat with my sticky, sweaty legs. Mrs. Apple opened the car door. "Hi, Dottie. We are so happy Joshy could come. No one ever called me Joshy." "Oh, Gene, he's been excited about it for days," Mom lied. We'll be here at 4 to pick him up. Well, no worries if you're late, I'm sure there will be other kids, Mrs. Apple told her as she closed the car door for me. Dunning or I will be here at 4, my mother repeated. Then she pulled the shift into drive and disappeared in a cloud of dust. Inside the party, streamers were taped to the walls and ceiling, and helium-filled balloons were tied to the backs of chairs. I knew Frank from the country club, we both took swimming and golf lessons together, but we didn't go to the same school, so it was not a surprise that I didn't know anyone. I sat on the couch with my present on my lap. Seeing me alone, Mrs. Apple came over and took my gift. She took my hand and led me back into the mix. Now, go and play Joshy and have a good time, she left me with a group of boys playing Trouble. I looked down at my Mickey Mouse watch and could not believe it had only been 10 minutes since I arrived. At lunch, I sat at a picnic table covered with a paper tablecloth with large blue letters spelling Happy Birthday. We all wore cardboard hats held in place with a thin elastic string that cut into the space between my chin and neck. Mr. Apple brought me a paper plate that matched the tablecloth with a hot dog and Fritos. The hot dog had relish, which I hated, so I took my finger and wiped it onto the ground. The hot dog had black blisters, and I did my best to eat around the dark, charred parts. Attention, boys and girls, Mr. Apple yelled above the din of many child conversations. It's time for cake and ice cream. A few kids clapped before Mrs. Apple emerged from the screen porch with a sheet cake lit with 7 candles in her hands, singing Happy Birthday. They made us all line up for a piece of cake, which Mr. Apple sliced and handed out. Mrs. Apple was doling out the ice cream. There were 2 boxes, the same, vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry ice cream in strips. In our house, we choose what we wanted, but Mrs. Apple had peeled away the box and cut the ice cream like bread, giving each of us a slice with a stripe of each flavor. I'd never seen anything like this. I returned to my seat with my wedge of cake and a gigantic slice of ice cream. I looked at my Mickey Mouse watch. It was only 1:20. The day was endless. After most of the kids were done, Mr. and Mrs. Apple went to each picnic table and wrapped everything in the tablecloths. Then, Mr. Apple would hold the large dark garbage bag, and Mrs. Apple would stuff it with all the trash wrapped in the paper tablecloths. In no time, it was as if there had never been lunch. Okay, kids, Mrs. Apple laughed, let's go into the house to open presents and play pin the tail on the donkey. Like a flock of chicks, we moved as one into the house. We all sat in the family room and watched Frank open his gifts. There were a few frisbees, one glowed in the dark, which I thought was cool. The girl who exited the car ahead of me watched with pride as Frank tore at the foil to discover a Play-Doh kit with all the cutters, molds, tools, and 4 cans of colorful clay. When Frank opened my gift, the lawn darts, his face lit up. Oh man! Lawn darts! Can we play them now? Can we, Mom? Mrs. Apple's face was stiff, and she wore a fake smile that tried to mask her surprise and concern. Not now, sweetie, Daddy and I will have to read the directions, she said, taking the box from him. Oh wow, these are heavy, she added with a strange look. Frank, did you thank Josh? Thanks, Josh. I have begged for these for so long, but Mom said that they could kill me, Frank started, only to be cut off by Mrs. Apple mid-sentence. Frank, let's keep going, why don't you open that one, she suggested, pointing to a box wrapped in red, white, and blue paper. Mrs. Apple, I asked, I have to go to the bathroom. She told me to use the bathroom at the top of the stairs. Walking back to the party, I saw a stack of games on a shelf on the back porch. There was Monopoly, Chutes, and Ladders, Candyland, and the one game I always wanted to play, Operation. Man, to pull out the Adam's apple that was an apple. I opened the box. All the pieces were in the right parts. When taking out the body parts, I picked up the tweezers and touched the metal borders you could. The nose did not glow. There was no buzzing sound. Disappointment flooded over me. Mr. Apple appeared. There are no batteries in that game, son, he said. But we have some in the barn. You want them? I nodded. Well, come on then, he said with a smile. I jumped to my feet, and we walked across the dry, gray, dirt driveway. The barn was an old, low-roofed pig shed of sorts. Before I knew it, Mr. Apple walked in and came back out and said there were no batteries. "Figures," I thought. Seeing my disappointment, he said he was sorry and reached over and tickled my ribs. "I am sorry, kiddo," he said. "Now you better run, or I'm gonna get ya," and we played tag just like that. He chased me, and as I made my way toward the house, he cut me off. Then, he tickled me again, the next thing I knew we were both running into the field. "I'm gonna get ya," he said, laughing. And I was laughing too. I was running along the barbed wire fence. I ran by a big tree, my sneaker caught a tree root, and I fell into the long, deep grass. When I turned over onto my back to get up, Mr. Apple was at my feet on all fours. "Gotcha," he said, his hand wrapped around my ankle. He pulled me hard across the ground, and my shirt climbed up my back and belly. He was over me. I could smell his breath, sweet and sour at the same time. He grabbed my thigh and slid his hand into my Bermuda shorts, touching the elastic leg band of my underwear. That's when I looked up and saw that blue summer sky. I knew I had to get away. I kept pulling my legs up towards me and pushing against the ground. My sneakers skidded across the grass, trying to get away from him. "You're a pretty little boy," he said, moving his hand out of my shorts to comb through my hair. I got to my feet by accident, or maybe it was just luck. I climbed up the tree like an angry wet cat, fast, furious, and scared. I turned to face Mr. Apple, my back scraping against a tree trunk. I felt bark crumble and fall into my shorts. He grabbed my knee and pulled me hard, and I slid across a branch. He smiled with his yellow crooked teeth. Something in his eyes made my heart race, so hard I could hear the blood pumping in my ears. I brought my leg close to my chest and kicked at him with all my might. He caught my foot and laughed at me, a menacing laugh. Now he had one hand on my knee, and the other had my sneaker, and he held me. I jumped then more like fell, but on purpose. "You're a pretty little boy," he said, moving his hand out of my shorts to comb through my hair. I was out of the tree and on the ground in seconds. He stood there looking at me. My fighting back did little but cause something in his face to change. It was scarier. I started to run. The grass, with its seedy tops, fell fast with each stride. I ran back toward the house. Once out of the field, I ran around the barn. In the driveway, I saw Dad. He was leaning against the car, wearing khaki pants, a denim shirt, and an ascot. He was talking to Mrs. Apple. I screamed, "Dad," waving my hands like a lunatic. "Dad!" He looked at me quizzically as I raced towards him. He waved, but I kept running as fast as I could. When I reached him, I tossed myself into him. His hand slid down my head and rested on the nape of my neck, and it was only then that I looked back for Mr. Apple. He was nowhere. "Dad, I wanted to go home." "Hey, I'm talking with Mrs. Apple," he said. "Dad, I want to go," I said again. Like a light switched on, he abruptly stopped the conversation with Mrs. Apple. He opened the driver's side door and let me slide across. Dad got in and closed the door. "Thank you for coming, Joshy," Mrs. Apple said, resting her hand on the car door's open window. "Don't you have something to say to Mrs. Apple?" my father asked. "Thank you, Mrs. Apple," I whispered. "All right, Gene, I better get this one home, he looks exhausted," he said, turning the key and the car's engine came to life. "Too much fun in all this heat," Mrs. Apple said with a smile. "You all have a great night." "You too, Gene, take care," Dad said, putting the car in gear and slowly driving away. Dad kept looking at me. I had a lump in my throat so big it hurt. Finally, he reached over, picked a piece of bark off my shirt, and flicked it out the window. "It's too goddamn hot out there," he said. All the windows slid up as if by magic, and he turned on the AC. I turned around and looked out the back window as the Apple's house disappeared in a cloud of country road dust. "Come over here," Dad said. "Help me drive." I scooted over, and he put his arm around me. I put my hand on the wheel next to his. "Are you okay?" he asked. I nodded and kept my eyes on the road. I was safe now. Dad saved me. I wished it was always that way, being safe with Dad. But, well, that's not our story.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can read more about this true story on Substack and Medium. Josh's handle is at jdpowell65.